It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Pennsylvania primary was held last night, and aside from the winners in the presidential race, Democrat Hillary Clinton and Republican Donald Trump, the candidate people are talking about this afternoon is Katie McGinty, the former head of the State Department of Environmental Protection, who beat out former Congressman Joe Sestak and Braddock Mayor John Fetterman for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate. She faces incumbent Republican Pat Toomey in November, and Katie McGinty joins us now by phone. Katie McGinty, congratulations on your victory.
Paul, thank you so much. And to all of your listeners, thank you all for getting out there and voting and really making your voice heard in this critical race.
You were trailing Joe Sestak in the polls as recently as 6 days ago and by a more substantial margin just prior to that. How did you manage to turn this race around?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is, you know, Pennsylvanians are busy people, and as you've probably seen in a lot of elections, they don't have the opportunity or ability to really tune in until maybe 2 weeks out, and I think that's part of what we've seen in this race for sure. The other, though, is that when someone like President Obama stands up and says, geez, I'm with Katie, but then says specifically because, hey, she was in the arena and got important things done like expanding Medicaid, or Vice President Biden coming in to Pittsburgh with us and letting people know that we work together to do things like save the Children's Health Insurance Program. That was tangible. That was meaningful to people. And I think it addressed people on issues that they care about and they want to see gridlock broken through and good things getting done. And I think that gave us some real impetus there towards the end.
How much of a factor was last night's turnout, which was significant?
Well, I think it was a significant factor for sure for a number of reasons. One, we were reaching a lot of new and young voters who were inspired by the chance to hold Pennsylvania up as a place where we would encourage innovation and entrepreneurship. And I love to see that new demographic turning out. But I think it's also significant in a bigger picture. I know we always say this is the most important election, you know, in our memory. But truly, I think people get it that the Supreme Court is in play here because of the obstruction we have seen from Senator Toomey and others. The United States Senate is in play, and Pennsylvania literally will be one of maybe just two or three states that will decide the control of the United States Senate, and certainly the White House being in play. All of that came together, and people happily, in my mind, got out there and made their voices heard.
You will face incumbent Republican Pat Toomey in November, a formidable opponent. How will you go at him? Where do you think that he is? You mentioned the whole Supreme Court nomination issue. Where else do you think he might be vulnerable?
Well, I think two kinds of things, Paul. One is just what the voters have seen at a time when we have gridlock. They want problem solvers. And they see in Pat Toomey someone who's been an obstructionist and making things more difficult rather than easier to solve. But the other is the specific issues. Look, I'm going to be a person who is fighting for working and middle-class families, while we have in Pat Toomey someone who is leading the charge to take Social Security away, has voted consistently against college affordability, has hurt our businesses trying to compete in taking away one of the tools that enabled them to be competitive against China, et cetera. So it's a record that has been pretty rigid ideologically and definitely hurtful to families and businesses in our own state. You know, you think of something like Planned Parenthood, 104,000 Pennsylvania women depend on Planned Parenthood, yet their own senator leading the charge to try to take that health care away. These are things that just a very difficult record for the senator to defend.
Hillary Clinton won the Pennsylvania presidential primary. You won last night. What does this mean for women running for national office?
One thing that I found people resonated with when I'd get asked questions about gridlock or working across the aisle, I would remind folks about the last budget impasse in Washington, where it was the women of the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, that came together, set the nonsense and rhetoric aside, and just got it done. And it was interesting to me, Paul, to see how many voters remembered that and immediately found that to kind of strike a chord with them. So I think that people get, maybe if we had a little diversity there, we would have some different perspective and a different way of going about handling tough issues. And for me, I also think as a working mom, I would really love to bring that perspective to the Senate because I do think it would better ensure that things like education and childcare, things like equal pay for equal work, would have more prominence than maybe those issues would otherwise have.
You're going to get this question a lot, I'm sure, but there has never been a woman U.S. senator elected in Pennsylvania. Is the Keystone State ready to elect one now?
You know, I think voters don't look at it that way. And I certainly wouldn't ask them to look at it that way. I would ask voters to say, look, is this a candidate and a person who shares my values? And is this a person who has a track record of not just talking about it, but getting it done? And if voters are aligned with me that way, and my values are pretty simple here, it's if you work hard in our Commonwealth or in our country, if you work hard, you should be able to provide for yourself and your family. You should be able to look forward to a bright future for them and a secure retirement for yourself. And if you care about a track record, you know, I have been in the arena, proud to have brought 3,000 manufacturing jobs to Pennsylvania, proud to have reached across the aisle when I worked in Washington, even with Newt Gingrich, who's a tough cookie, and getting important investments in clean water infrastructure done. If that is what you'd like to see in your U.S. senator, then sure, all other things being equal, maybe after 237 years, we try something new and different and give a woman a chance.
Katie McGinty, the winner in last night's Democratic primary in Pennsylvania for U.S. Senate, and she'll go up against Pat Toomey, the incumbent, in November. Again, Katie McGinty, congratulations, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you, and thanks to all your listeners for keeping the promise alive, getting out there, voting, and having your voices heard.
And joining us now for an overview of last night's primary results is John Baer, political columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News. John Baer, thanks for joining us.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me.
I asked Katie McGinty, and now I'll ask you, John. She was trailing Joe Sestak significantly in her Senate race. The gap had narrowed, but she was still behind as of just a few days ago. What turned it around for her?
Well, I mean, it was a heavy influx, really a gush of money from the National Party, the National Democratic Party, and a lot of special interest groups like the League of Conservation Voters and Emily's List, millions and millions of dollars. You throw that into a race in the last couple of weeks, it's going to be very tough to, you know, match that on the other side. I mean, Sestak did not have a voice comparatively going down the stretch here. And when you get support of the President of the United States, the governor, former governor, mayors, it makes a difference. And it certainly showed at the polls yesterday.
So what is the takeaway for Democrats, particularly those, you know, I think a lot of people would view Katie McGinty as a progressive candidate in a similar way that they might view Bernie Sanders. But of course, the Feel the Burn folks are concerned about money in politics. So if it was money that made the difference at the end, how good can progressive Democrats feel about the victory last night?
Well, that's something that's going to have to wait and see. I mean, right now they probably don't feel very good. You've seen a lot of interviews, a lot of reporting on Sanders supporters who say they simply will not vote for Hillary Clinton. But that's now. I mean, we don't know if time heals those wounds, and by the time we get to the fall election, Democrats are united against whoever the Republican nominee, presumably Donald Trump, and in Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey. If you look at the state map from yesterday in the presidential race, Bernie Sanders won the center of the state. He won a lot of Democrats who might not be called, urban Democrats. And so you don't know where those people will be in the fall and whether McGinty can pull them in I think it's going to be a tough race. I mean, there are already today are two ads out on behalf of Pat Toomey, one from the Club for Growth where he used to run out of Washington, and another from the U.S. Chamber. And so I think she's going to be in for a fight.
What did you make of the turnout last night?
Pretty impressive for Pennsylvania. We traditionally are always in the bottom third of states. It's something I rail against constantly, given the fact that we're the birthplace of democracy. Our people don't vote. Partly that's not their fault. It's the fault of the people who run this state. We are a very non-progressive state in terms of voting. But the turnout, I mean, the numbers for the Democrats were impressive. The turnout, we think, was about 40% of registered Democrats. The turnout for Republicans was more impressive, was around 50%. So there's clearly an energy gap in terms of enthusiasm. Republicans in Pennsylvania and nationally seem to have the edge.
So how do candidates like Katie McGinty and maybe for that matter Hillary Clinton, and we'll get more into how Pennsylvania, what the role Pennsylvania will play is in November, but how does a candidate like Katie McGinty, if there is an energy gap, how does she close that gap?
Well, the same way she did at the end of this campaign, and that's with heavy advertising, pressing on the same buttons, going to the markets where the voters are, and in Pennsylvania, that's no offense, in the southeast, the Philadelphia and the collar counties down there make up something like a third of the vote in Pennsylvania. That's a very big and important area, particularly the suburbs. And she could do well down there. That should be her territory. She's from there. She's been a visible force down there in politics. So she'll have that edge. But you don't know what happens at the top of the ticket. You don't know how anything can happen in a campaign. Anybody that tries to tell you that so-and-so is going to win, you just have to take it with a grain of salt.
And by the way, we're not offended by that remark. We're, you know, those of us who are here in Western Pennsylvania, you know, take no offense at all, John. Talking with John Baer of the Philadelphia Daily News. Let's turn now to the Attorney General race. On the Democratic side, it was a spirited race between Josh Shapiro and Allegheny County District Attorney Stephen Zappala and others, but it really came down to Shapiro versus Zappala, with Shapiro defeating Stephen Zappala. I spoke with Josh Shapiro earlier today and began by asking him about Mr. Zappala's criticism of Shapiro, that he had never tried either a criminal or civil case in court, a charge he's likely to hear again between now and November.
I don't think it really matters what Steve Zappala's campaign manager thinks. I think what really matters is what Democratic voters in Pennsylvania thought when they overwhelmingly elected me to be their nominee last night. I couldn't be more proud to have the support we received in Western Pennsylvania, Central, and Eastern Pennsylvania. And I think what people understand is they want a progressive fighter. They want someone who's going to use the office to its fullest capacity, someone who's going to use the office to protect people's civil rights and their health and their quality of life and the safety of their community. I think I uniquely understand that. I think my background is one that uniquely prepares me for the road ahead in the election and then ultimately to govern as Attorney General.
Kathleen Kane was elected Attorney General 4 years ago, becoming the first Democrat to be elected to the position. This has been a tumultuous 4 years with her in office, to say the least. In your view, how much damage has she done to the Democratic brand? What concerns do you have going into the general election?
I don't have any concerns. I think the problems associated with General Kane are unique to General Kane. And going forward, I think the Democratic brand in Pennsylvania is strong. I think my brand is strong. I think the overwhelming victory we received last night confirms that. And now it's my job to spend a little bit of time putting the Democratic Party pieces back together. You know, obviously, Stephen and John ran spirited races, and it's important that the party goes through some healing, which I expect we'll do fairly quickly. Both of them, when they called me last night, expressed a willingness to participate in that. Now, ultimately, we're going to be a unified party going into the fall.
As you put those pieces back together, as you say, what are the priorities? What are the things that you feel really need to be addressed?
Look, I'm going to focus in this general election race on the issues I've been talking about throughout, making sure that we use this office to its fullest potential to protect the health and welfare and safety of the people of Pennsylvania, and using my executive leadership skills to reform the office and make it work again and restore integrity and fairness to our justice system. look, I'm confident I'll be able to stitch together, as I did in the primary, a broad coalition, this time a bipartisan coalition, to win the race in November. And I expect that we'll be able to do that all across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and look forward to a good victory in November, and then most importantly, serving the people of Pennsylvania as their Attorney General next year.
Meanwhile, we put in a request with the campaign of State Senator John Rafferty, who won the Republican nomination for Attorney General. We did not receive a response before airtime, but here is what Senator Rafferty had to say at his campaign headquarters last night.
I believe that I'm the best person to be able to provide that leadership that's desperately needed in the Office of Attorney General.
There'll be no political spotlights, no personal vendettas. It will be right decisions for the right reasons to make sure that you, the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, know I serve you.
So, John Baer, we have our matchup for November. How would you assess the race between Josh Shapiro and John Rafferty?
Well, there's a couple of things, Paul, that occur to me. One is Kathleen Kane's problems aren't going to go away. I mean, she's scheduled for trial in August. Whether or not that gets delayed, whether or not whether or not it's an extended trial, there's going to be some attention paid there, which will remind people this is what happened when we elected the only Democrat. Josh can try to distance himself as much as he can, but in an average voter's mind, the argument that a Republican can make is Republicans have long been the standard bearers for law and order. Even though the office doesn't technically do that kind of stuff, it's much more a managerial office. I think that's a target on Josh's back, the fact that he's never been a prosecutor. Now, Rafferty, on the other hand, doesn't have a whole lot to go on. I mean, he did serve as a deputy attorney general for a few years, mostly prosecuting Medicaid cases, but at least he has some credential in there, and I think that's going to be a problem for Josh. Shapiro and McGuinty, however, have a great advantage in running in Pennsylvania in a presidential year because, Paul, as you know, Pennsylvania has voted for the Democratic candidate for president for the last six presidential elections.
And that leads me right into my final question for you, John, which is how important is Pennsylvania to the presidential race as we lead up to the general election in November?
It's always important. Big state, a lot of electoral votes. Gets a lot of attention. A Democrat almost has to have it. A Republican would love to have it. We're going to see a lot of money put in here. There's going to be a lot of contentious campaigning going on.
John Baer, political columnist for the Philadelphia Daily News, joining us. John, as always, thanks so much for sharing your insights. We appreciate it.
Paul, thanks for having me.
Coming up, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter Chris Potter on the delicate delegate dance being done by Republicans in Pennsylvania. And later on, an interview with Jimmy Beaumont, lead singer-songwriter of the Skyliners, who are being honored as Pittsburgh rock and roll legends. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.